Vatican and World News.
Today, Friday, May 10th, is the feast of St. John of Avila and of St. Damian of Molokai. And these are today's headlines. Pope Francis thanked women religious sisters for their service during a meeting with superiors general. The Vatican's Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue has released a message for Muslims on the occasion of Ramadan. And the people of South Africa are casting their ballots in parliamentary and provincial elections. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells. Pope Francis today met participants in the 21st Plenary Assembly of the International Union of Superiors General, answering their questions and thanking them for their service. Linda Bardoni has this report.
This is Vatican News. Pope Francis on Friday met participants in the 21st Plenary Assembly of the International Union of Superiors General, answering their questions and thanking them for their service. Receiving some 850 Superiors General in the Vatican, the Pope reflected on a series of topics, including the question of the abuse of religious women, women's diaconate, the role of women in the Church, and the possibility of an apostolic trip to South Sudan. But first, he thanked the religious for their courageous choice to evolve in sync with an evolving world, pointing out that their new path is full of risks. But he said it's even more risky to be afraid and not grow. Regarding the question of clerical abuse, Pope Francis noted that it cannot be resolved overnight, but he pointed to the fact that a process has begun to tackle this problem, of which he said we are becoming aware with such shame, but blessed shame. Pope Francis added that the abuse of nuns must be fought. It's a problem I am aware of, he said, and it's a serious one. And he went on to mention the abuse of power and the abuse of conscience to which religious can be particularly subjected to. He affirmed that religious must not become the servants of a cleric. They must carry out their mission, he said, in the dimension of service, not in that of servitude. As far as women's diaconate is concerned, the Pope recalled a special commission had been established at the request of the religious to examine this issue in depth. He explained that an agreement had not been reached within the commission and that a theological historical foundation is needed. However, its work, he promised, will continue. And regarding the role of women in the Church, he said it's wrong to think that the commitment of the sisters in the Church is only functional. The Church is feminine, he pointed out, and took pains to underscore that this is not a mere image, but reality. Recalling the fact that in the Bible, the Church is female, she is Jesus' bride, he said that in the field of theology of woman, we must move forward. He also agreed with one of the religious who suggested that during the UISG's next plenary assembly, a male presence could be useful, to listen to the voices of so many religious across the globe, who together with their sisters serve Jesus in an infinite range of capacities. And confirming his closeness and appreciation for women missionaries who serve the people in countries of great need like the Central African Republic and South Sudan, the Pope said it is his desire to visit the world's newest nation. It's not a promise, he said, but a possibility that perhaps will come true on the occasion of the apostolic journey to Mozambique, Madagascar and Mauritius. I want to go, he said. I carry South Sudan in my heart. I'm Linda Bordoni.
Pope Francis also met with members of the Papal Foundation on Friday, who are in Rome on pilgrimage. He thanked them for their support and for spreading the gospel message of hope and mercy. Sean Patrick Lovett has this report.
The Papal Foundation is comprised of American Catholics who dedicate financial resources to supporting the Pope and various projects throughout the world. Pope Francis welcomed their support on Friday in an address to its members who are on pilgrimage to Rome. It's a joy, he said, to be with you once again and to express my gratitude for the generous support you offer to me and to the Church in so many parts of the world. The Holy Father prayed that their pilgrimage to the tombs of the apostles strengthen them in their fidelity to the Lord and his Church. Founded in 1990, the People Foundation has extended over $156 million in grants and scholarships to prepare leaders for the church and to care for vulnerable people around the world. Pope Francis said the foundation has contributed greatly to fostering a spirit of fraternity and peace.
Attraverso il vostro sostegno a vari progetti educativi, caritativi e apostolici.
Through your support of various educational, charitable and apostolic projects, he said, you give witness to the untiring efforts of the Church to promote the integral development of the human family. The Foundation's work, said Pope Francis, helps contrast violence, poverty and indifference with the gospel message of hope and mercy. He thanked them for their support and prayed that they be renewed in their purpose to build the Church in unity and extend her charity to those most in need. Pope Francis concluded asking the members of the Papal Foundation to pray for him and his ministry, as well as for the needs of the Church, the spread of the gospel, and the conversion of hearts.
Affido tutti voi insieme con le vostre famiglie.
I entrust all of you, said Pope Francis, to the intercession of Mary, and I impart my apostolic blessing as a pledge of joy and peace in Christ our risen Saviour.
With over 90% of ballots counted from Wednesday's vote, South Africa's ruling African National Congress, the ANC, is expected to be returned to office in the country's parliamentary election, but with a reduced majority. The ANC is Nelson Mandela's party and has been in power since 1994, but has suffered much discredit after years of corruption and lack of delivery. Father Peter John Pearson, director of the Catholic Bishop's Parliamentary Liaison Office in Cape Town, gives us his take on the vote.
There have been a few glitches, but nothing to in any way discredit the election. I think the question of the party is finding different figures, the ANC for the first time under 60%, and yet after quite a bruising time having made a bit of a comeback, the Democratic Alliance seeing a slight dip, seemingly indicating that they've reached a glass ceiling in their urban middle class support. The ANC, I suppose, being able to rely on the Ramaphosa effect, as it's popularly called, a mandate to continue the work of the various commissions looking into state capture, into various corrupt activities, people's desire to see that continue and to get to the bottom of the past 9 years that have been really the years in the biblical term that the locusts have eaten. So I suppose there's a sense of giving them the mandate nationally to continue, perhaps beginning to reestablish some trust. But the smaller parties with more radical identities, both to the left and the right of the political spectrum, are the ones that have shown some growth. And part of what I think might be happening in that is the assertion of people with very strong identity issues to bring their voices back into the public space, into the public domain.
That was Father Peter John Pearson. He's the director of the Catholic Bishop's Parliamentary Liaison Office in Cape Town. He was speaking with Vatican News. The Vatican's Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue has released a message on the occasion of the Muslim fasting month of Ramadan, which culminates with Eid al-Fitr, the festival that marks the end of the fast. The message, with the title Christians and Muslims, Promoting Universal Fraternity, urges both communities to build bridges of fraternity and friendship and promote a culture of dialogue. Robin Gomes tells us more.
The Vatican's message for Ramadan was signed by the Secretary of the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue, Bishop Miguel Angel Ayuso Guichot. Quoting the document signed by Pope Francis and the Grand Imam Sheikh Ahmed El Tayeb of Al-Azhar in Abu Dhabi on February the 4th, Bishop Ayuso invites Christians and Muslims to remain rooted in the values of peace, to defend the values of mutual understanding, human fraternity and harmonious coexistence, and to re-establish wisdom, justice and love. The message reminds Muslims and Christians that by opening themselves to others, knowing and recognizing them as brothers and sisters, they can tear down walls raised out of fear fear and ignorance and seek together to build bridges of friendship that are fundamental for the good of all humanity. This way, they can cultivate a new way of life in their political, civil, and religious institutions where violence is rejected and the human person is respected. The message encourages the followers of both communities to continue promoting the culture of dialogue as a means of cooperation and as a method of growing in knowledge of one another. In this regard, he cites the guidelines offered by the Pope, namely that of duty of identity, the courage of otherness, and the sincerity of intentions. The message further explains that respect for diversity calls for a dialogue that seeks to promote the right to life of every person, to physical integrity, and to fundamental freedoms, such as freedom of conscience, of thought, of expression, and of religion. This includes the freedom to live according to one's beliefs in both the private and public spheres. In this way, the Ramadan message says, Christians and Muslims, as brothers and sisters, can work together for the common good. I'm Robin Gomes.
And briefly, Catholic schools in Sri Lanka are expected to reopen on May 14th after they were closed for security reasons following the Easter attacks that killed 258 people and wounded about 500 more. Finally, in his homily today at Morning Mass in the Casa Santa Marta, Pope Francis invited Christians to be docile to the voice of the Lord. The Pope said we should follow the example of St. Paul, who was stubborn but open to God's urgings. Devon Watkins tells us more.
Taking his cue from the conversion of St. Paul on the road to Damascus, Pope Francis said the apostle to the Gentiles was hard-headed but not hard-hearted. Reflecting on St. Paul's character, Pope Francis called him a forceful man who was enamored with the purity of the law, saying he was honest and consistent, though he had a difficult character. First of all, he was consistent, the Pope said. He had a heart open to the voice of the Lord, and he risked all and charged ahead. Another of his characteristics, said Pope Francis, was his docility. Pope Francis pointed out that even though he was stubborn, St. Paul was not hard-hearted. He was open to God's indications. St. Paul had incarcerated and killed Christians with a fire inside him, the Pope said. But as soon as he heard the voice of the Lord, he became like a child, letting himself be led. He is an example to us, said Pope Francis. The Holy Father said there are many courageous men and women today who risk their lives to find new paths for the Church.
Cerchiamo nuove strade, questo ci farà bene a tutti.
Let us seek new paths, he urged, pointing out that they must be the paths of the Lord.
Andare avanti, avanti nella profondità della preghiera.
Charge forward in the depth of prayer, of docility, and of a heart open to God, he said. This is how true change takes place in the Church. Pope Francis concluded inviting us to ask God for the grace to be docile to the voice of the Lord and for a heart open to Him. I'm Devin Watkins.
And that brings us just about to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, be sure to check out our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. Once again, that's www.vaticannews.va. You can also catch the latest updates on our Facebook page or on Twitter. Many thanks this afternoon to our sound engineers and producers in studio. And in the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells.